Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'm so glad we get to have you on today and talk. So, Andrew, would you like to start?
Well, yeah, let's go. Hello.
Ahoy.
And welcome to the Under the Waves podcast. It's a show about all things shipwrecks on the Great Lakes. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Michelle. And welcome to a very special episode of Under the Waves. Today, we are joined by none other than the illustrious Corey Adkins, straight from the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society. Corey is the communications and content director. I don't know why I misread that. Content director of the society, and he does a much better job than I do, and we are honored to have him here with us today to talk more about the recently announced finding of the Western Reserve. We cover that in episode 33, so if you want to listen to that before this, just to kind of get a heads up, that would be great. And he's also going to talk about some questions regarding the general processes and the way the Shipwreck Society does things. So welcome to Corey.
Well, illustrious is a very illustrious word to use for me, but thank you, Michelle. Appreciate that.
Thanks. It's a big word. I had to sit down for that one. So we're sure you've been swamped with interviews and the like after the announcement of the Western Reserve being located, but thank you so much for taking time to meet with us today.
No problem. This press release has been one of the biggest we've ever done. It has reached international waters, for lack of a better term. We have articles that have been written about us in China.
Really?
Wow.
Burma, South America, New Zealand, Australia, and then just all over our country. It's been crazy with the amount of attention that this press release has made. When you go on to like your Yahoo News or your opening page, we've made all those pages too. Like, it's still on there, and it's very it's satisfying to know that people are interested in something such as the Western Reserve that sank in 1892, 132 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, for sure. I remember researching for the episode, just seeing how many, not even like local newspapers, because usually I deal a lot with the local newspapers, because it's not going to reach all over the U.S., just a little Great Lakes shipwreck normally, but this was hitting like the New York Times, the Post, the Washington Post, it was hitting a lot of the major heavy hitters. I didn't know it was global. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, when you're big in say Norway and Denmark and Germany, you know you did something right. So
I was just gonna say that. Yeah,
we hit the nail on the head with this one, and I'll never forget. I had a phone call from Seoul, South Korea, at 4 in the morning, and I don't ever usually leave my phone on at night, but I do for these press releases. And I did an interview in Seoul, South Korea.
At four in the morning?
Unbelievable.
Just like, we're calling you right now, interview.
Yeah. So, you gotta make hay when it's being grown. So
yeah.
This has been fun, and we've actually gotten a lot back from this press release.
Yeah, like more attention, more followers, more what?
Well, it's we have gotten a lot of attention. I could probably go up into the million follower.
Wow.
And mark as far as press releases. But the best thing we got out of this is we've made contact with some of the family members that have, you know, that have always been wondering where the shipwreck was. And I just got back last Friday, and I did an interview with two people from the sole survivor. His name was Harry Stewart, who survived that wreck, and 27 other people did not.
That's crazy.
And I interviewed two people that would not even be in front of me if he did not make the swim to shore.
That's got to be such a sobering thought.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. I definitely want to get back to that further on in the question.
Yeah. Sorry, I skipped a little ahead.
No, you're good. I want to talk about it. It's like, I talk about everything right now.
But I can definitely see where that would be such a huge part of it, is bringing that closure, bringing that full circle, and just being able to connect those dots and being able to have that for the family. So that's, first and foremost, such a cool thing that you guys are able to do. So thank you guys for what you do in that.
Yeah, film. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, when that's part of our goal, too, is to, you know, we tell these stories, these unknown stories that people don't know about, but they should. So there's so many stories of shipwreck just right out our back door at Whitefish Point that people don't know about. And then when we find family members that have been talking about this for 132 years, it's quite satisfying to know
that's huge.
We're making a difference there.
The full circle of it all is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, just to start out the episode a little bit, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, such as like what got you into your current role of communications and content director? How long have you been doing this? Have you always been interested in shipwrecks, or was there a certain thing that really piqued your interest and brought you into this line of work?
So, no, I was never interested in shipwrecks growing up. I wanted to be the bass player for Van Halen.
Ah,
I mean, who wouldn't? That's probably amazing.
Can you imagine if we stumbled across that? You're like, yeah, I'm also the bass player.
Yeah, but the job was taken by Michael Anthony. But But
so close.
I got into it. I moved up to Northern Michigan in 1998, and I made a trip up to Whitefish Point in the year 2000 and learned about the Edmund Fitzgerald. From there, I got involved in the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society. From there, in 2006, I was voted into the board of directors. I became vice president. And then from there, in 2021, our current executive director, Bruce Lynn, and I were talking around a campfire, and he's like, I could probably really use you to be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I got the job. So cool. I became very interested in shipwrecks in the year 2000 and learned about them. And I'm a storyteller at heart. Mm-hmm. I spent 23 years in the media business working as a photojournalist and storyteller. And when I left that job, I just transitioned over to this job. And now that's what I do. And
that's awesome.
You know, I'll just say it's the second best option to be in the bass player for Van Halen.
Hey, that's good.
Fair. That is fair enough. That's awesome. The Edmund Fitzgerald will get you. Honestly, it'll just pull your head in.
Yeah.
I love it. So as we've seen with quite a few of the wrecks we've covered, sometimes ships are found accidentally while looking for a different one. For ships that the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society chooses to look for, could you walk us through kind of the process of like what your team decides on which shipwreck to search for next, or just kind of toss a coin or goes in order?
Sure. We don't search for any specific shipwreck. We go to find where ships are, shipwrecks are not.
Okay.
if that sounds plausible, we go out and we tow our sonar back and forth, and it's Daryl and Dan Ertel, our director of marine operations, and our first mate, their brothers. They go out every summer when weather dictates, and they tow a sonar, and it's a very, very tedious, sometimes very boring job. But when they'll go 40 miles, think of it as mowing a lawn. They go up 40 miles and then turn around and go back 40 miles. And our side scan sonar can reach out a half a mile on each side. And you know how big Lake Superior is. So
it's more than half a mile.
Yeah.
A couple of passes.
It's a tad more than half a mile. So they go out and they find where wrecks are not. But when they get a hit, a blip on that sonar, that they'll turn around, and then we have the ability and the technology to focus that sonar image in. We'll go to like a different megahertz and see if it's a shipwreck or not. From there, like when they saw the Western Reserve, they're like, "Oh wow, that's an interesting wreck," because it was laying on top of each other. It was 70 feet tall. Like, these boats are not 70 feet tall.
No.
But it was laying on top of each other. And so when they went back over, he was like, "This is the Western Reserve." And they measured both halves of it. And it was 300 feet. And the Western Reserve was 300 feet.
Yeah.
So they pretty much knew it was that at that point. And then what we do from there, they have to come back to port, and we have to assemble a team, and we have a pretty advanced ROV, a remote operated vehicle, that we can send down to identify the ship. So the Western Reserve is over 600 feet deep. You can't send divers down there. The only way we can see it is from our robot. So we sent that down, and when we were you know, looking at it, we saw this is definitely the Western Reserve. And I know one of your questions is about the running light, and that's one of the reasons how we identified it.
Yeah, because it was the dimensions, unless there's like other 70-foot tall 300 ships missing in that area. Is it just kind of based on what you can tell is still part of the ship, or can you see the name of it? I know it's, Andrew, we're going to skip around here right now.
Oh, that's fine.
But is it, I know you guys have plans to go down and take more video footage or photos or something for later when the weather cooperates, but like, could you see the name or something when like they went down the first time, or?
Not on that one. If it was a wooden vessel, we probably could have. I mean, we have identified ships like the A.A. Parker. The paint is still on that wood, but on steel, it degrades after 132 years.
It's the cutoff is 132 years.
Yeah. I mean, if it was 130 years, we may have been on steel.
Oh, man. You're so close.
No, but it's 132 years.
Yeah.
And you know, that just degrades it. We could barely, when we found a ship called the Arlington, let's say.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
In 1940, even we could see Arlington barely in the video, because it's just degrading. Those are steel ships, and they just kind of dissolve off.
Yeah,
got it.
Makes sense.
That's great. So the paint dissolves off, but the steel's still there And it's not like, it's too deep that the zebra mussels wouldn't get to it. Right?
Luckily, Lake Superior, we have dodged the zebra mussel attack.
Takeover.
we don't have zebra mussels in Lake Superior. There's something about the water up there, or I don't know how to scientifically speak to that, but yeah. We don't have zebra mussels like Lake Michigan and Lake Huron and Lake Erie and Ontario. So cool.
I think, as soon as I asked, I was like, I think we covered part of it once, but I think it's something with like the limestone coast, like they have to rebuild their shells using some sort of breakdown of limestone and is less of it in Superior. I don't remember. I researched it really well. But yeah, I forgot about that. But I was hoping they wouldn't get to the ship or something. But as far as this ship, the Western Reserve being the most important shipwreck, why do you think it's one of the most important shipwrecks that's has ever been found or more recently been found?
I wouldn't call it the most important shipwreck. I'd call it a lost shipwreck that people don't know about, but now they do. Mm-hmm. All these wrecks are very important. You know, there's a lot of people out there that lost their lives on mm-hmm. these wrecks. The Western Reserve was, you know, we've been looking for it for a long time because of the story, and we just wanted to put that final paragraph to the story of these men's and women and the families that were on mm-hmm. the Western Reserve. I mean, there were a lot of family members on the Western Reserve.
Yeah.
They were just out. They were simply just out on a summer vacation.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like
the ship wasn't even loaded with anything other than the family, the Minch family.
Yeah.
There was another captain. His name was Captain Albert Myers. His mm-hmm. younger son was on board. And the sole survivor, Harry Stewart, one of his family members were on board, and everybody died other than Harry that day.
Yeah.
So traumatic.
I would never ever call this the most important shipwreck.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of like calling a battle in World War II the more important battle.
Mm.
You know, what's more important, Battle of the Bulge or D-Day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't want that to sound condescending at all.
Oh, no, yeah. No,
absolutely.
But this isn't, you know, it is an important shipwreck in Great Lakes history. Mm-hmm. We did find it, and we are now able to get it out to the world
mm-hmm.
For people to know about the story. And
yeah.
I think we did that kind of successfully.
Yeah, no, you guys are you're getting calls at 4 a.m. in the morning from other continents. I think you're good. I think I think this shipwreck is also very, like, it's special. It's different because you don't get a lot of shipwrecks that involve like family members involved as well. I mean, there are some out there for sure, and we've covered a few, but it's usually like a group of men, which is not any less important, but just like it adds like a different factor to it that there were, what would that be, like 6 children involved as well. And like, just, yeah, like you said, they're just going for a summer cruise. You don't expect something like this to happen in August. You expect it in like November or something. And It just makes it a different twist that makes it more, I don't know, kind of hits home sometimes a bit more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they made it up. They left Cleveland. They went up the St. Mary's River or St. Clair River and mm-hmm. Through Lake Huron, up the St. Mary's River into Whitefish Bay, and there was a storm. So they decided to anchor that August 29th night. And mm-hmm. Captain Minch, even though he was on vacation, he did have another captain on board, Captain Myers, and they were both very, very seasoned captains.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to to heave anchor and the next day on August 30th and head, you know, head to Two Harbors, Minnesota. And they made it into the middle of Whitefish Bay. They didn't have the storm predicting ability that we do today. Yeah. They didn't have, they just made a bad call, and it cost them,
a lot.
27 yeah. lives.
That's so sad. How quickly it changed too.
Yeah, the accounts from Harry Stewart and from what I, you know, when I was talking to his great, I might get this wrong, great or great granddaughter. he wrote, he goes, all of a sudden I heard the snap in the ship. Mm. And a lot of the crew was in the stern of the ship. That's where they slept, and the family was in the bow. So as the ship was ripping in two and separating, it was sinking fast. They had to act very, very quickly. So the people in the bow had to run to the stern to get to the lifeboats. So imagine as your ship is sinking and ripping into and jumping over that crack that is literally ripping in front of you.
That's something out of like a horror film. And you think like, oh, that's a little overkill. It's like, this actually happened. That's so crazy. And then it was supposed to be, wasn't it touted as like the safest ship at the time or something? So you don't think something like this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You're safe.
Yeah. You think you are and you're empty. You know, you don't even have a load. Yeah, yeah, you know, your cargo is your family at that point. So,
That's so sad.
Yeah, we have an artist picture drawing of Harry Stewart jumping that crack on the Western Reserve that you are more than welcome to use.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we put it in our last post. Was it Bob McGreevy is the artist? Yeah. I think I could be saying the name or thinking of the name wrong, but yeah, I definitely accredit it to him. But it's just, it's very sombering. And then he did a couple other pieces where it shows like the ship cracking or like the lifeboat going away as the ship is like cracking in pieces and stuff. And would just be a horrific night.
They all made it to the lifeboats. And then, then one of them, right as they got into the lifeboats, it capsized.
Yeah.
And it threw all of them into the water, and only two survived. And Harry Stewart, the sole survivor, was one of them.
That's crazy. And he had to swim quite a ways to get to shore.
Well, when the other lifeboat got to the two people that picked him back up, and they drifted for 10, 11 hours. And they got within a mile of Deer Park Life Saving Station, Deer Park Life Saving Station, and that boat capsized there. He was a very strong swimmer. He was young at that time, and he got to shore. And imagine this, Matt. Thankfully, it was August.
Yeah.
So
you don't have ice.
The heat of the summer.
Yep.
Imagine if that was November, October, or any other time. He would not, I would not have been able to sit and talk to his great, great granddaughter.
Yeah. No, it's just, there's so many, the factors were all working against him. And fortunately for him, he was the one who made it, but unfortunately he was the only one who made it. And that water's not warm even in the summer.
No.
It's not bone chilling. It's not going to like, you know, hypothermia immediately, but Superior is so cold. I have not swam in it personally, but I touched it in the summer and I was like, eesh, no, thank you. But yeah, thank goodness it was August instead of later in the year at all. But crazy.
I think next question. As far as locating ships and things of that nature, you discussed and talked about how You guys just take a sonar, and it's basically just 40 miles. You go in one direction. It does the half-mile sweep, and you guys turn around. Is there anything, is there any locations in particular where you guys say there might be something in this area based on word of mouth or historical records? Or is it more so just you guys are doing grid by grid the entire lake as time goes on?
It's grid by grid. Every historical record we ever look at is not right.
That makes sense.
What do you mean? No, I get it.
Meaning, we discovered this wreck, the Atlanta. The Atlanta, it was supposed to be here, yep. But it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't where it was supposed to be. Yeah. And so, where it's supposed to be is not, they didn't have GPS. They didn't have, mm-hmm. The technology we have these days. They could make their best guess, but most of the times, I would say 90% of the times, the wrecks we find are not where they are supposed to be.
That's crazy. From even like researching ships for the podcast, you'll have 10 accounts and like 11 different stories. And it's like, I don't know. It went down somewhere and I think this is a lake and everything changes based on the person and their perspective and stuff. So that's gotta be difficult.
Yeah.
What are some of like the biggest challenges in locating something like the Western Reserve? Is it mainly weather or what other things do you face?
Weather is the biggest hurdle in shipwreck hunting, especially on Lake Superior. Superior was not very nice to us last year. We as it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Superior. But we didn't get out as much as we would have liked to. You have to have certain weather conditions to tow the sonar, and you have to have even more perfect conditions to put our ROV down. So you play the game with time, and you win and you lose, I guess.
And you see what it gives
you.
It's
kind of a very bad analogy, I think, but.
It works.
You can't predict the lakes. It's been like their whole shtick for eternity. So I get it. That makes sense that it'd be a huge factor.
And as far as the side scan sonar and the images and all that you guys use, we absolutely love the photos that we have seen on your guys' mm-hmm. site. And it's just incredible that like the technology of today that you guys are able to.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
To use and employ to be able to find these wrecks. Are there any other major technologies or tools that you guys use on top of side scan sonar, or is that like the main
and the ROV,
the main one, like in your toolbox?
Well, I think this is you two are the first people I've told this to. Oh. We have just made a major investment into a new ROV.
That's incredible.
Fancy.
Congratulations. Well, send us a donation. And
you got it.
We'll get on the phone with. Oh man.
No, we just bought a new ROV.
Yeah.
It's going to be built for the Great Lakes. It's going to be specifically built for us and
that's
what
so
we do.
Sick. That's so so cool.
And we're just they're having some issues right now with some hardware and equipment coming in, but hopefully we'll have that installed in our boat this year, and we can go down and start. There's a lot of wrecks that we need to revisit and redo and retell the stories of with this new ROV. You know, it's 4K, 6K type deal.
That's so cool. And unbelievable.
And we'll see what we see. I can't promise anything until we actually get it on the boat installed.
That's fair.
And recorded, so.
From someone who doesn't personally love the idea of scuba diving down to any of these wrecks, I appreciate the effort of being able to still see them from the safety of my own computer.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, the Western Reserve is almost 620 feet deep.
Or it's also inaccessible.
unless you have a death wish. You can't dive that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Probably not.
That's the way to see it. And you know, we put our ROV down on that, and we saw that the starboard running light is in a museum in Toledo, and we saw the port running light on that with our ROV, and we're like, wow. That, you know, this is the Western Reserve for sure. And then we fly it up a little bit, and then we see the broken mast that's over the bow of the ship, and the bell is there. Shining, you know, the brass is still shining down there. And that hits us pretty heavily.
Yeah,
because we're meeting our goals, and we're telling, you know, family members, and we're telling stories about these 27 guys that lost their lives that night, men and women and families. that lost their lives that night. So it's just it makes us feel proud that we could put a little bit of a period at the end of the sentence. So. I am in the middle of a documentary. I'm shooting it right now. I am going to be talking with some of the Minch family, and the second mate, his name is Charles LeBeau. The LeBeau family, they have reached out to. So when we get family members reaching out to us, that is the payment.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that is our payment right there.
Yeah.
When we can get that. Wow. We never knew where the ship was. And thank you so much for doing what you do. So.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sure. Huge. Absolutely. I don't remember. Remind me. Were all the crew or everyone who was on board, were they all listed somewhere historically? Because I know some of the older ships that go down, they're just like, oh, there were 10 men on board, and we have no clue who they were. Were all of these identified, or are people coming forward now saying, I think this was part of my family history?
No, they're all listed. I can send you the crew list if you want.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. That would be such amazing closure for that family too, even to have some place to even potentially visit one day, and just like you're above it and you're like, okay, I know, like, it's here, and just have that like closure or something. That's gotta be amazing.
Yeah. I will say it'd be pretty hard to get out to where it's at, because it's literally 50 miles northwest of Whitefish Point.
Oh, well,
almost just a casual right day trip.
Maybe to have it on a map and be like, it's here.
Yeah. I just go to the beach and look out. And
close enough. Yeah.
If you don't have means of a boat, that's going to be a hard one to get out to. I mean, the Fitzgerald is 17 miles northwest of Whitefish Point. That's hard enough to get out to. Imagine this one is 50 miles.
That's insane. That's quite the perspective too. So what is the longest time the Society has spent searching for a ship? And are you looking for any right now? I guess it's just any that you don't have like a specific, you're just looking for anything that you can find, correct?
We just go out and tow someone, and then when we discover something, that's when we discover it. I mean, we always wanted to find the Western Reserve, mm-hmm. but if we didn't, and that was another shipwreck, mm-hmm. like the Frank Wheeler, good. You know, yeah. we found a wreck that we can tell the story of.
Yeah.
You know, like a couple of years ago, we found two old schooners called the Curtis and the Marvin. And that was part, and we're still looking for, and I'm losing my memory right now. But that was part of a three. The Curtis was towing the Marvin and the one I'm forgetting, and all three of them went down
in one
storm. And we have found two of them, and it was weird. We had National Geographic on with us when we sent our ROV down.
Wow.
To identify the Marvin, and that was a pretty exciting moment. And the as a old television guy, the National Geographic people were very happy that we waited to put the ROV down until they got there.
I'll bet.
They're like, we saved it just for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. That's gonna be such a cool moment.
Well, sort of in conjunction with that, what happens immediately after a shipwreck like the Western Reserve is found? So like you mentioned, they see it on the blip with the sonar and they turn around and go back. But like, what is the stages that follows after they've identified, they pinged something, and what sort of follows up after that in the process?
So we do our research so we don't just blurt out what we don't know and what we do know and what we don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we do very extensive research. I mean, we found this wreck back in late July. I think it was July 29th of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have waited and done research and got our story together until now to release it. We don't just mm-hmm. go out and say, hey, we found something. Because then it wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah.
If we don't know the story behind that. So
yeah.
So our first stage is doing research.
Mm-hmm. You guys were quick with this one, because the one we covered right before this was the Adela Shores. And that was, I think, a couple years of research. But this one was like, man, next year, let's go. Like, this is getting quick. I love it.
Well, Daryl and his brother Dan, they found 10 shipwrecks in 1 year. So
holy cow!
It was kind of hard to keep up with.
Yeah, I bet that's a lot of shipwrecks. That's good.
Yeah, but the thing is, Michelle, the thing we never want to do is discount a story. So mm-hmm. all these shipwrecks have their own stories. We don't mm-hmm. want to just say, hey, we found 10 shipwrecks, and then, you know, to heck with the stories.
Yeah.
And the people that passed, or the people that survived. It's important for us to research every single wreck and tell the stories. And we did get beaten up a little bit about, you know, why are you taking so long to, you know, release these? I'm like, because we found too many of them in 1 year. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, shame on people for doing that. Yeah. No, I just, yeah, the number, and I really appreciate the quality that you guys put into this, and not only just like telling the ship stories, but the people on the people on board and the families that are left behind. And that shows a lot of care and intent, and you guys are taking the extra steps to ensure that you're telling the right story and involving everybody who was involved, and that's huge. Thanks for doing
important.
That.
It's important to be accurate.
I like it. So you mentioned during the interview with the family of the lone survivor, Harry Stewart, which has to be such an amazing experience again. Is there anything you can share on that? Or like, when will the interview be released? Where can people find that? When to look forward to it?
It's going to be part of the documentary. It's not going to be released anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very sobering for me to sit in front of the grandson
mm-hmm.
and the great great granddaughter of Harry Stewart.
Yeah.
If Harry Stewart did not make that 1 mile swim to Deer Park, those two mm-hmm. would not be in front of me.
Yeah,
that's insane.
That's huge.
And that kind of tears me up as I'm saying that right now.
Yeah.
They know that that whole lineage of that family relied on Harry's 1 mile swim.
Yeah. Man, that's Jeez. Quite the legacy.
Yeah.
I wish I could hand you a Kleenex, sorry. Man, that's such a legacy to take on with them as well, and to carry his story on. And what an opportunity to be part of something bigger and just have it go down in history as what a noble thing that he did, and how he survived that. And it's insane.
Yeah, I don't know how noble it was. I don't.
That's kind of a weird word for it.
Yeah, I like the only thing that washed up from, and this is going to be a little grave, so excuse me here. The only thing that washed up from the Western Reserve was that starboard light that's in mm-hmm. the Toledo Museum and the Minch family.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the Captain Minch.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Found frozen on the beach, and his wife.
That's so sad.
And that's sad. I mean,
yeah.
He just wanted to take his family on a
summer cruise.
On a summer cruise.
Yeah, and he made it so far. They were so close. And
they just made a bad call, and you know, they couldn't, you know, even in August, the gales of November will come and get you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that Gordon Lightfoot reference. Thank you.
Yeah.
But no, that's so sad. I wonder if it helped their family members at the time to have some closure then. Not that, like, it's like the best of a worst case scenario, you know? But also, just to, I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just, this is a lot of emotions with it, and it's really, that's so heart-wrenching.
I think closure time is over, you know, because it's been 130 years.
Yeah.
It's more of a family mystery that we've helped solve. Here's the wreck. And now one of the coolest parts of this whole situation is we are now uniting family members. So we have the Minch family, we have the Bew family, and the Stewart family, and they're all connected right now.
That's really cool.
From a wreck that happened 132 years ago.
Do they still live in like the Great Lakes area, or?
Yeah, I mean,
without Frank, exactly pinpointing Frank, their location.
Frank lives down just south of Marine City. And that's his grand, that's Frank, that's Harry's grandson. And the Minches still live around the Vermilion, Ohio area, and Chicago, and I'm not sure where the Bew family is, but
yeah,
they're still around, and they still talk of, you know, this is an event that their whole family still talks about. So
yeah, it's a major event. Why not?
Yeah.
I think we only have like two questions left or so, but one of them, if there was one Great Lakes shipwreck that you could solve, which one would it be and why? Like, if there's one that...
Want them all solved.
Yes,
but
absolutely. Not trying to, like,
one
separate...
one is, like, drawing to you.
Yeah. Is there one that particular... I know you mentioned at the beginning, the Edmund Fitzgerald really pulled you in, and I would say when I was younger, like, and I first learned about the Edmund Fitzgerald, that really pulled me in to the world of shipwrecks on the Great Lakes and things of that nature. But is there one that comes to mind where it's just like, this one is one that I think would be a really cool one to find next?
Andrew, you just walked into a hornet's nest.
Well, we can backpedal.
there are two that happen at the same time. Can I extend the one to three?
Please. Please do.
Yeah.
There are two that happen at the same time, and I'll send you guys the link to my documentary, The Great Storm of 1872.
Sweet.
There were two schooners, they were called the Jupiter and the Saturn, that got foundered in a storm, went ashore just 5 miles west of Whitefish Point.
Oh, wow.
And everybody died.
Wow.
That's terrible.
And it wasn't because of sinking. It was because of exposure.
Really?
So.
5 miles away.
Yeah. But think of it. Think of Whitefish Point even today.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing there.
No.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same brutal wilderness. So. I would kind of like to see what you know, if I could hop into an alien's time machine and see what happened.
I
know they broke their toe, and they just drifted.
Yeah.
So there's a graveyard at Whitefish Point. Well, near Whitefish Point, that has a bunch of grave markers that says unknown.
Mm.
And a lot of those people that were from the Jupiter and Saturn are buried there. So,
wow.
It's a grave thought, but
yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing what happened to those vessels, but
yeah.
You know, and I guess the popular answer here would be, if I could hop in a time machine and see exactly what happened to the Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I can resonate with that one.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I would love to see that, because, you know, there's so many theories out there, and
mm-hmm.
we don't like to speculate or be subjective or guests or anything, because who will ever know what happened to the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Only the people who were there.
Yeah. Only the people who went down that night. That's it.
And only God and the 29 guys that were on the Fitzgerald will ever know that.
Yep.
And that's a quote from, Cheryl Rosman, who lost her dad.
Oh, wow.
On the Fitzgerald. So, That would be an interesting one to watch.
It would.
Yeah.
And maybe even, if I had a time machine, maybe even help.
Yeah.
While you're there.
Cool. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Hey, like, I know what happens. Let me
guys up.
I like it. That would be great. Oh, man. Yeah, no, it's interesting how... even if most people don't know about the Great Lakes, they know about the Edmund Fitzgerald, and there's so many memes out there, so many anything about, like, when you research, people will just start commenting the lyrics of Gordon Lightfoot's Edmund Fitzgerald. And it's just like everyone kind of knows that story. And just to have such a far reaching story. And now with the Western Reserve, you have such a far reaching story. Who knows? Maybe there'll be songs that come out about that too, that just kind of connect everybody. But
man. Well, I know I'm rambling on right now, but you guys got me here. But I'll tell you something about Gordon Lightfoot. He was a very good friend to us. I've met him
times
before he passed in 2015. But he cared deeply, deeply for the families of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And in 2015, it was the 40th anniversary of the Edmund Fitzgerald sinking. Mm-hmm. He wanted to come up and visit the Bell and just do his memorial, but he did not want to do it on November 10th, and that's when the Edmund Fitzgerald sank. He wanted to come up on the 9th.
Interesting.
Because he didn't want to be the focus point. And he wanted the families to be the focus point. So
that's incredible.
We organized that. So on November 9th, he came up and met with the families.
Wow.
And, there's something that happened that day too, that I'll send you the story too.
Yeah.
That was quite amazing. But he never wanted to be the star of this. he cared very deeply for the families. He was a very, very good guy. And he did not come up on the 10th. He came up on the 9th. He met with the families and then left. Because you know how people would react. Gordon Lightfoot's here. Gordon Lightfoot, you know.
And suddenly it's all about him.
He was that good of a guy.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. I love that he wrote a bop of a song. Like it's very catching and everyone knows it, but I love that it goes further than that. It's he did it out of care and love for the families and stuff, and that he was still considering that 40 years later. So that makes it even more special. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah, no, he sounds like an amazing guy. He would have been really cool to meet for sure. So how can our listeners get involved with helping the society besides sending donations for your new ROV?
if you
have a link for that, we'll include it.
I probably talked a little too much earlier, but you can donate. There's a donate button. If you go to shipwreckmuseum.com, you can donate to our cause. And it does help us.
Awesome. I love it. We'll definitely post that. Where can people learn more about you or the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society in general? Is there anything you'd like to plug? Anything you'd like to cover that maybe we didn't get a chance to?
Really just the floor.
It's your time to shine.
Yeah, just sort of wrap it up and
if you want to.
Yeah.
If you want people stalking your Instagram, you can do that. Or just we'll put the link for the Shipwreck Museum on our socials.
Okay. All right. I got one thing. We have just invested in a new weather camera up at Whitefish Point that overlooks our lighthouse and Whitefish Bay, and has been very, very popular.
That's cool.
Okay.
So if you go to shipwreckmuseum.com, and then there's a little link that says live weather camera, live camera, and then you go to that. Click on that as much as you can.
Definitely, I like it. Will do.
Because
I just wrote it down.
we get some interesting weather up there.
And, oh, I'm sure.
It's very fun to watch, and there are some times where I'll create like week long time lapses off of that, and it's just fun to watch all that stuff come through.
Yeah, that's gotta be so cool. And as someone who has come into contact with people who don't know much about the Great Lakes, which what are you doing if you don't, just to see the immense power of the Great Lakes, especially Lake Superior and stuff, is very humbling.
Yeah.
It does not look like a lake.
Yeah.
It looks more like a tempest, like ocean or something.
Whitefish Point is where the Fitzgerald was trying to get to hide from the storm. So yeah. Once you get around that point into Whitefish Bay, you're pretty much in safety.
Yeah.
When you're north of that, you're in Lake Superior's Tempest.
Yeah, all bets are off at that point.
That's so crazy.
Perfect. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, steam by here next week for all things Great Lake Shipwrecks, lore, the latest news, etc. And try to avoid any storms on the way over. We'll try our best to keep you guys up to date with the latest and the greatest. Follow us on the socials at Under the Waves Podcast. All links will be in the episode description as usual.
And then a huge thank you again to Corey for joining us today and answering all of our burning and sinking questions and more. Remember to check out all of his links that he mentioned, which again, we'll also have in the episode description, the Great Lakes Shipwreck Historical Society's website, and who knows, maybe you could be the next one to also find a missing shipwreck. We release new episodes every Friday.
And until then, fair winds and following seas.
And we will catch you next time under the waves.
Bye.
Cheers.